Welcome to Verawind, Serious Crimes, from StoryOmniverse.com. This story is titled, Echoes in the Mist. The streets remember, the files are open, and the case begins now. Chapter 1. Arrival in the Gray. The morning Bridgemoor greeted the Serious Crimes unit was thick with fog, swallowing the sun and muting every sound except the slow groan of rotted timbers. Detective Mira Lorne stepped from the SCU van, her boots striking uneven cobblestones, slick with dew. The town's deserted streets were unnaturally quiet, as if waiting for some verdict that had yet to be passed. She paused on the canal's edge. The water was still, a brown mirror broken only by the sluggish wake of a barge drifting into the mist. It was here, a local fisherman had told them, that Samuel Hart's body was found 2 days before. Hart, once a respected financial analyst, had become a whistleblower when he exposed corruption in Greyhaven's largest logistics firm. Now he was just another casualty in Bridgemoor's long decline. Mira's team fanned out behind her, their silhouettes shifting in and out of view as the fog thickened. Sergeant Yara Novick was already questioning the fisherman, her notebook in hand, while Elias Van, the youngest on the team and their tech specialist, set up equipment by the water with methodical care. Dr. Ivo Grell, the forensic pathologist, approached Mira with a clipboard, his expression grave. "Preliminary findings suggest drowning, but there are marks on the wrists," he said quietly. "Restraints, maybe. Definitely not accidental." Mira nodded, gaze fixed on the canal's surface. Every town had its ghosts, but Bridgemoor's felt especially persistent. She glanced at the sagging, abandoned buildings and wondered how many secrets they hid. The SCU's arrival had drawn curious stares from the handful of locals, brave enough to linger. But Mira sensed little hope among them, only wariness. "We'll start canvassing," she told her team. "Yara, see what the locals are saying. Elias, I want Hart's devices combed for anything unusual. Ivo, prioritize the talk screen and autopsy. We need to know what happened here and why someone would want Hart silenced in this place." As the team set to work, Mira felt the weight of Bridgemoor's silence settle on her shoulders. The town was a puzzle, every piece shrouded in mist, and she had the sinking feeling that some truths were meant to stay buried. Chapter 2. Unwelcome Attention. The SCU's temporary headquarters was a derelict bank on the edge of town square, windows grimy and its vault door jammed open like a broken jaw. Mira hunched over case files as fog pressed against the glass. The quiet was broken only by Yara's return, a sheen of frustration on her face. "They don't trust us," Yara said, tossing her notebook onto the desk. "Most blame the SCU for not stopping Bridgemoor's downfall. Others say we were told to look the other way. Either way, nobody's talking." Mira thumbed through the notes. "Did anyone see Hart that night?" "Only that he was nervous," Yara replied. "Kept glancing over his shoulder. He'd been staying at the old inn by the canal, but the innkeeper claims he barely left his room." Elias wheeled his laptop over, a cord trailing behind. "Hart's emails are a mess. Most are encrypted. He was sending reports to a government contact in Greyhaven. But there's chatter about a shipment arriving the night he died. No details yet." Mira leaned back, her mind sorting through possibilities. Hart had made enemies, powerful ones. But why risk coming to Bridgemoor if he knew he was in danger? Did he trust someone here, or was he hiding from a threat larger than he could face? A knock at the door interrupted her thoughts. Dr. Grell entered, holding a sealed evidence bag. "This was found in Hart's jacket," he said, handing it over. Inside was a small flash drive, its casing scratched but intact. Mira's eyes narrowed. "Elias, see what you can pull from this. Start with the latest files." As the tech worked, Mira stared at the fog swirling just outside. Bridgemoor's silence was not just emptiness. It was the hush before a storm. Every secret waiting to surface. She felt the gaze of the locals and wondered, not for the last time, who was watching the watchers. Chapter 3, The Family's Wall. Mira and Yara arrived at a row of weary brick houses, their paint scabbed and gardens overgrown. The Hart family lived at the end, curtains drawn tight. The door opened reluctantly after several knocks, revealing Elise Hart, her face pale, eyes wary and red-rimmed. "We're sorry to intrude," Mira said gently. "We need to ask about Samuel's last days." Elise let them in, her son, Jonas, lingering in the hallway. The home was neat, but tension hung in the air. Mira kept her questions soft, but Elise's answers came clipped. "Sam said he was in trouble," Elise admitted finally. "He wouldn't tell me who threatened him, just that he had to finish what he started. He thought coming here would be safe." "Safe from what?" Mira pressed. Elise shook her head. "I begged him to go to the authorities, but after what happened in Greyhaven, he didn't trust anyone." Jonas, silent until now, spoke up. "Was it the gangs?" "Dad said some people were angry, dangerous people." Yara leaned forward. "Did he mention anyone by name?" Jonas hesitated, then shook his head. "Just Ashface. He said if Ashface found him, he'd disappear." Mira exchanged a glance with Yara. The name was unfamiliar, but Elise bristled. "That's just an old story," she snapped. "Ghosts for scaring children." "We'll do everything we can," Mira assured them. As they left, Elise's voice followed them. "Find the truth. Don't let them twist his memory." Outside, Yara muttered, "Ashface, another myth or someone real?" Mira stared at the fog-draped street. In Bridgemoor, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. Chapter 4, Misdirection. Night drew Bridgemoor into a deeper silence, and the SCU's headquarters was a pool of light in a sea of gloom. Elias hunched over the flash drive, triumphant. "There's a file labeled Rivalry," he said. "It's correspondence with a competitor of Hart's old firm. Looks like Hart was digging into their dirty laundry, too." Mira frowned. Was he working both sides? "Maybe. Or maybe someone wanted it to look that way," Elias replied. "The file's metadata is weird, like it was planted. Dates don't match up. Too easy for us to find." Yara chimed in. "If Hart was playing double agent, it gives the rival company motive, but the evidence is too neat." Mira sat back, considering. A red herring. "Someone wants us to chase the rivals and ignore the real threat." Dr. Grell entered, holding a report. "No drugs or alcohol in Hart's system. Bruises on his wrists and ankles, consistent with restraints. Drowned, but not by accident. But not before a struggle." Elias nodded. "There's more. Hart tried to call a restricted government line just before he died. No record of a connection." Mira exhaled, the puzzle growing more tangled. "Let's not get distracted. We look at the rivals, but we dig deeper into Hart's Greyhaven enemies, and whoever Ashface is. Someone's muddying the waters." Yara grinned despite the tension. "Wouldn't be Bridgemoor without a ghost story and a conspiracy." Mira forced a smile, but worry gnawed at her. In this place, misdirection wasn't just a tactic. It was a way of life. Chapter 5, Ashface. Word of the SCU's investigation spread fast. Mira and Yara ventured to the crumbling textile mill, a haunt for the town's squatters. The air inside was thick with dust and suspicion. Shadows flitted behind rusting machinery. "We're looking for information about Samuel Hart," Mira announced. A gaunt woman with sharp eyes, known as Lissy, spoke up. "You want to know about Ashface? He's real. not a ghost, not a story, used to run with the Black Tide Gang. Now he works for someone bigger, meaner, keeps his face burned under a sash. A wiry man nodded. Saw him the night Hart died. Down by the canal, arguing with a stranger. Didn't hear much, but Ashface was angry. Real angry. Yara pressed. Did Ashface threaten Hart? Lissy shrugged. Didn't see what happened after. But nobody goes near Ashface unless they want trouble. He's got protection. As they left, Mira mused. If Ashface is working for the gangs, or something worse, he's our link. But if people are scared of him, we'll need proof. Yara scanned the empty streets. Or we'll be chasing legends while the real killer slips away. The name lingered. A shadow among shadows. Ashface was either the key to the mystery or another phantom in the mist. Chapter 6. The Fingerprint. The next morning, Dr. Grell summoned Mira with urgency. We pulled a partial print from Hart's watch. It's not his, and it's in the Black Tide's database. Belongs to Royce Tanner. Muscle for hire. Suspected in 2 drownings last year, but nothing stuck. Mira's pulse quickened. Gang retaliation. But why make it so obvious? Elias, drawn by the commotion, speculated. Either Royce is sloppy, or he wanted us to find it. Maybe he wants out, or he's sending a message. Yara shook her head, or someone's framing him. Mira considered the possibilities. We need to find Tanner. And Ashface. If they're connected, we'll force one to give up the other. Yara, track Tanner's known associates. Elias, check for financial transactions linking Hart and the gang. As they worked, Mira's phone rang. A static-laced voice warned. Stop digging, detective. Some debts in Bridgemore are never repaid. The line cut. Mira shared the recording with her team. We're close. Let's not blink now. The tension in the room was thick as the morning fog. Every answer only deepened the riddle. Chapter 7. Double Motive. Celeste Arbor, the team's analyst, pieced together a timeline. Hart and Tanner knew each other 10 years back. Hart testified against Tanner's cousin, landed him in prison. Tanner's hated him ever since. Yara added, but that still doesn't explain why the Black Tide would care so much. Celeste traced the web of money transfers. Hart's whistleblowing cut off a major revenue stream for the gang. They were using his old company for laundering. Mira drew a breath. 2 motives. Tanner wanted revenge. The gang wanted retribution. Hart's murder served both. Elias frowned. But who arranged the meeting at the canal? Hart wouldn't have gone alone unless he trusted someone. Celeste replied, the call records show a burner phone registered to Ashface. He lured Hart out, then Tanner did the rest. Mira nodded, feeling the weight of the case. We need Tanner and Ashface in custody. But someone higher up gave the order. Someone who's still watching us. Yara's jaw tightened. And if the family gets wind of this gang angle, they'll never let us near them again. Mira made her decision. We go to Greyhaven, find Tanner, then squeeze him for the truth. The lines between justice and revenge blurred in the candlelit gloom of their makeshift HQ. Bridgemore's ghosts refused to rest. Chapter 8. Crossing Lines. Greyhaven's docklands were a labyrinth of steel and shadows. Mira, Yara, and 2 uniformed officers tracked Royce Tanner to a waterfront warehouse, its windows shrouded by grime. The air buzzed with tension as they closed in. Inside, Tanner lounged against a crate, his eyes sharp but weary. He looked Mira up and down as if weighing his odds. You know why we're here, Mira began. Samuel Hart. Tanner's mouth twisted. I did what I was told. Hart was a coward. Thought he could ruin lives and walk away. Who gave the order, Royce? Yara pressed. Tanner hesitated, glancing at a dark corner. Does it matter? The Black Tide owns this city. You arrest me, someone else takes my place. Mira softened her tone. Hart's family deserves answers. The truth, not a cover-up. Tanner's bravado faltered. Ask Ashface. He set it up. I just finished it. As officers cuffed Tanner, Mira felt little satisfaction. In the shadows, movement caught her eye. An older man with a scarf across his lower face, melting away as officers approached. Ashface, Yara muttered. He'll vanish before we find him. Back at headquarters, Mira filed the charges. The higher-ups were pleased. Case solved. Threat contained. But the silence in the night felt heavier than before. They had caught a killer, but not the one who gave the order, or the one who hid behind fog and silence. Chapter 9. The Haunting Remains. A week later, Bridgemoor was as quiet as ever. The fog rolled in, softening the broken edges of the town, muffling every sound. The SCU prepared to leave, their presence already fading from local memory. Mira stood at the canal, Elias beside her. "Feels unfinished," he said. She nodded. "We got Tanner, but Ashface is still out there, and whoever he answers to." Yara joined them, shivering in the damp air. "Hart's family won't talk to us. They think we made him a scapegoat for the gangs." Celeste arrived with the last reports. "The Black Tide's shutting down their operations here. Too much heat. But someone paid Ashface to lure Hart. We'll never trace it beyond an account in Varen's Crossing." Mira stared into the canal's black water. "We did what we could, but Bridgemoor keeps its secrets." The team lingered, not wanting to leave. Mira felt the ache of unresolved threads, the half-truths, the lies, the sense of a deeper rot beneath the surface. She wondered if the town's silence was mourning or warning. As they drove away, Mira glanced back at the town swallowed in mist. The taste was closed. Justice, of a sort, had been served. But the story of Bridgemoor and Samuel Hart would echo in her memory, a reminder that in places like this, truth never comes without a cost. You've been listening to Verawind, Serious Crimes, part of StoryOmniverse.com. The case may be closed, but the shadows of Verawind linger still. Until the next investigation calls,